We greatly appreciate an interest in your prayers tonight, that the Lord would meet with us. We would open up our hearts and the Spirit of the Lord would be faithful to us to pay us all a very special visit tonight. I'd like to begin over in the book of Leviticus, and I am aware of the fact that when the minister says, let's turn to Leviticus, you may groan inside. But there's something there that I want us to get hold of tonight to start with. We're not going to be tedious by the help of the Lord. If you'll turn with me, though, to Leviticus in chapter 24, there's some familiar commandments that I'd like us to begin with tonight. Leviticus chapter 24, and let's just begin with verse 16. I'd like to read just a little bit of the law of Moses. He that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger, as he that is born in the land. When he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. You know, that's pretty simply written, but there's a lot in it. It lets me know that God doesn't want his name blasphemed. This is Old Testament teaching, but he told his people, the people that were to be holy to him, he said, if anyone blasphemes the name of the Lord, the penalty is death. And then he went on to say in verse 17, and he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. And he that killeth the beast shall make it good, beast for beast. There are so many other places in the Scripture, and I'm just going to give you some references tonight to bear out the point. But in Exodus chapter 21, verse 15. Now, young people, I'd like you to think about and listen to what used to be, at least was taught in the Old Covenant. He said, he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. How do you think that would change our land today if that were the law and it was enforced? It said, he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. Reading out of Exodus chapter 21. Verse 17 says, he that curseth his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18 to 21. I'm going to summarize this one for you. It teaches that a rebellious son who did not obey his father, one that was gluttonous, a son that was a drunkard, it said that he could be brought to the magistrates, brought to the judges, and he would be stoned to death. And the Scripture gives the reason. He said, put evil from you, all Israel shall hear and fear. The commands were given. Another command in Deuteronomy chapter 22. It said, the fornicator shall be put to death. He said, chapter 15 gives a little bit more. It said, the children of Israel, they were in the wilderness, and they found a man. Now, this is a practicality here. They found a man that was gathering sticks on the Sabbath day, a day that was to be holy and reserved exclusively for worship and honor to the Lord. And it said that the Lord said to Moses, this man shall surely be put to death, and the congregation shall stone him with stones. And it said that all the congregation brought him without the camp, and they stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded. Now that all sounds pretty stringent, doesn't it?
Yes.
The law was given of God to the children of Israel, because God was establishing a moral code that He wanted the people to abide by. And He gave them commandments of how they were to relate one with another. But there was a penalty if that was broken.
Yes.
It was death.
Yes.
And God also gave a structure to the relationship that He wanted to have with them. But take note that there was not a lot of heart relationship in the Old Testament. We find it from time to time, but it was more of an issue of keeping a law. Do this and don't do that. And if you disobey, this is the penalty. It's death. And so we find that God established a covenant with him, a social law, and there is a penalty. A law to govern their relationship with God, and if it was broken, there was a penalty. We've listed just and gave just a few things tonight. Children, can you imagine what it would be like for your mom and dad to take you to the judge and said they're rebellious? And the judge says, take them out and stone them to death. You see, we have difficulty understanding that. But even with the penalty of death, it is a reality, as a side note, that historically the children of Israel usually did not follow through with this penalty. From time to time, we find that they did go out and stone someone to death, but the reason that God said it was because he wanted evil to be driven out of the camp. I believe our society, and I'm thankful that this is not the law today. Don't, no one go home misunderstanding. But if this were truly the law, and it were carried out, do you think we would see the rebellion in young people that we see today? Because they would know, if I rebel against mom and dad, I could be taken out and I could lose my life. If I don't worship God acceptably, the penalty is going to be death. So I want to honor God. It may not be in my heart, but on the outside, I'm going to keep these commandments. So where does that leave us today? With that as a preface, if you will turn with me to the book of John, in the 8th chapter, keeping in mind, the law was given, and yet there was a penalty for those that broke it. John chapter 8, we'll begin reading with verse 3. The scribes and the Pharisees, verse 3, they brought unto Jesus a woman that was taken in adultery. In other words, this was a woman that had broken one of the commands of God. And they brought her to Jesus, and they set her in the midst. And I want us to get a little picture in our mind. They knew what the law of Moses said. And they brought this woman to Jesus, and they didn't just have her sitting off to the side and coming and talking to the Lord. They brought her and stuck her right in the middle, and I could just see these men surrounding her, and her shame was exposed to everyone. This is this woman's sin. This is what she has done. Consider the shame. Have you ever had someone accuse you of something? Right or wrong? Do you know it's one thing for someone to come and say, now brother, did this happen? But to publicly declare that this person is in violation of a command, and just there's nothing you can say. You stand there and everybody's looking and the pressure. Imagine the emotional trauma that this woman was in. Because she was guilty. What can you say? But yet these men were there, not because they were seeking her restoration. They were trying to tempt Jesus. And so they set her in the midst. And they said, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. In other words, there's no question. She was caught in the act. It's not supposition. This woman broke the law of Moses.
Yes.
Now, Moses in the law, do you notice how these scribes and Pharisees are getting ready to instruct Christ?
Yes.
We're going to instruct you on the law of Moses. They said, now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? And thus they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. Tonight, as an aside, Lord, help us not to be like these Pharisees.
Oh, yes.
Who of us here tonight has never done wrong? Who of us here tonight has never violated the law of God? Who of us here, and I'm going to go a step further, who of us here, once you have started out for the Lord, has never had a failure in your life? Who's never made a mistake and just said, Lord, I really messed up? Is there anyone here tonight? Because if there is, I need to sit down and give you the pulpit tonight. But they came to Jesus for the purpose of making themselves feel better. in their righteousness, in pointing fingers, in saying, this woman has been caught in the act. So what do you say, Lord? Because the law of Moses says she should be stoned. And it said that Jesus, he stooped down and with his finger he wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said, he that is without sin, do what? Cast the first stone. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. I don't know what Jesus wrote, but I know there's different suppositions and different people have different ideas. I'll share one with you tonight. It may not be right. But they were asking about the law of Moses. You know what Moses said? I can just imagine Jesus just kind of ignoring them and stooping in the dust and writing out a list of the commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Keep the Sabbath. Honor thy father and thy mother. And I could just see the Lord just writing a list of the commandments. And when he did it, the Pharisees and the scribes saw what he was doing, and they just kept on talking. You know what the law says the penalty is. And then Jesus looked up at him after writing out the law. And he said, those of you that have not broken that commandment, any commandments, he said, cast the first stone. Does anybody have any stones to throw here tonight? I have no stones to throw. No stones to throw. Because Jesus knew something about mankind. He knew that the law was incapable of delivering people from the power of sin. And so then they kept talking, and Jesus, it said, he stooped and he started writing something else. Again, I don't know what he wrote, but I can share an idea. First commandment, he might have just gone there and wrote the name of the Pharisee that was standing there that had broken that commandment. Go on down to another commandment and wrote their name. And if your name was coming, what would you do? Now my shame's going to be exposed. Here I thought I was the one that was righteous, and I'm here on my spiritual high horse, and I'm looking at this man, this woman in her sin, and all of a sudden Jesus reaches down and starts exposing all of us for the sin that is in our life. And it said, one by one, from the eldest to the youngest, they begin to walk away. Because if Jesus started, and I don't know who the eldest is in this tent tonight, but if the Lord started with the eldest, and started, do you know when he was moving down the middle? Do you know what the middle-aged folks would do? It's like, I know what he's going to do. I'm out of here. Because I know what's going to happen. You see, they weren't there to get help from the Lord. They were there to make themselves feel better in their self-righteousness. And they were there to try to trap Christ. What are you going to answer us now, Master? And one by one, they walked away. Do you know that Jesus was not a magistrate? No. And Jesus did not come to be our judge on this earth. There is coming a day when the Lord is going to stand in judgment, but this was not that day. And I am thankful tonight that this is not the time either right now. Jesus came to do something different, because with all of the penalties that were in the law, it was not for an individual to administer the justice. It was not for a father to take his own son out and stone him. They were to take the violator and take them to those that were given authority, the judges and the magistrates, and have someone that was not emotionally tied in with the problem make a decision on the penalty. And they said, Jesus, Moses said, stone her. What do you say? And Jesus, as they walked away, Jesus looked, and it said the woman was standing alone. And he lifted himself, and he saw none but the woman. And he said, woman, he said, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Condemn thee to what? Condemn thee to death. It wasn't that Jesus was excusing her sin. But he said, where are those that were saying we need to condemn her to death? The law of Moses said, stone her. And Jesus said, hath no man condemned thee? In other words, to death? Is no man here that's going to throw a stone? You know, Lord, help us tonight not to be throwers of stones. We can come to service and we can have family members and we can have people that have sat in the congregation for years and we can say they ought to know better. But folks, who of us here has a stone to throw? When it's time for the Lord to start to reveal all of the things of the past, if it's not under the blood, all of us are guilty tonight. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus, in saying, he said, woman, well, she answered, she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said, and this is the title of the message tonight, neither do I condemn thee. Neither do I condemn thee. Woman, I don't have any stones to throw. It's not why I came. I didn't come to condemn, but I came to deliver. I didn't come to condemn, but I came to set free. I didn't come to make you feel guilty and say, well, you should have known better. I came to forgive you, and I came to have mercy. He said, woman, neither do I condemn thee. And then he gave her a message of hope. He said, go and sin no more. In other words, he was giving her an ability and hope that you've been trapped in this sin, but I'm giving you some instruction that you can go and live differently than how you've been living. You can leave this place and you don't have to go back to breaking those commandments. You can leave here today and not go back to being under accusations of your enemy. The Son of God said, woman, neither do I condemn thee. What is the Lord saying tonight? And may I, in the love of God, say, Lord, help us not to take on a responsibility that is not ours. Jesus Himself did not throw a stone, but He offered hope. He offered deliverance. Because see, the Scripture says in John chapter 1 verse 17, it says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus did not come to enforce the law. He came to deliver us from sin because He knew that the law was weak. He knew that a list of rules and regulations was not going to change men's behavior. But the Scripture teaches us that the law was a schoolmaster. A schoolmaster is one that teaches. It was to reveal what sin was. Because all we have to do is read, open up and read in the Old Testament, and we find that men and women were not capable of adhering correctly to the law. And so they had to keep coming year after year in offering sacrifices. Yep. But there comes a time when children should graduate from school. I would be concerned if the sixth grader stayed in sixth grade for the rest of their life. And you go in there and you see a big old strapping 25-year-old fella sitting there in that little desk. And he's in sixth grade, and you say, what am I doing? He said, I am under the schoolmaster. There is a time to be in sixth grade, and there is a time to graduate from school and go out and apply what you've learned and live life. There was a time that we lived under the law. There was a time that we lived under a law, but the Lord God knew that it wasn't going to perfect men's hearts. He knew it was not going to deliver them, but they were going to learn through that law that I really am incapable. My righteousness is this filthy rag. I can't live this way by myself. And that is the reason that Jesus Christ came to this world, was to die on the cross, that through His blood we might have salvation tonight. That we don't have to live under condemnation. For God sent not His Son into the world to do what? To condemn the world. But that the world through Him Might what? Might be saved. Jesus came to set us free from the power that sin had in our life. And this was a beautiful story. I found it noteworthy that some of the ancient manuscripts do not have this account in them. And furthermore, there were centuries ago, amongst Christian people, this account that was in the Gospel was, as one historian said, it was studiously ignored or passed over. And so when the Gospels were being taught, they would just pass over that. They industriously avoided this Scripture. And the reason was, in their minds, they were looking at it and thinking, Jesus was being a little bit too compassionate to this woman, and it almost looks as if he was excusing the sin. Folks, that's not what Jesus did here. Jesus did not excuse the sin, but he did not come to condemn to death. He came to bring life. And that's the reason the Lord Jesus came. And so the law, in that, in what it could not do, it was weak. It's why God sent His Son, to do what the law could not do. Folks, tonight, the law, whatever law it might be, does not have the power to purify our hearts from sin. It does not matter what the doctrines, it doesn't matter what the standards are. A law does not change the heart. It can change some behaviors. But I can take a drunk man off the street and I can feed him a meal and we can give him a shower and put him in a nice suit of clothes and we can go a step further. We can take him down here in this water and baptism, but he's still a drunk. He's cleaned up. He looks good. The stench is off of him momentarily, but the stench is still in his heart. If he has not gone through the blood of Jesus and he could come, we could make him a trustee in the congregation. But he's still a drunk. He still has sin in his life. It doesn't matter how you doctor it up. It doesn't matter what clothes you put on. The man still has sin in his life. But Jesus did not come to leave us in the same condition. I was in a few years ago. We were traveling down through the middle of Pakistan to meet some tribal areas, many people that they knew very little about God and about Jesus Christ. And the minister that I was traveling with finally, he told me one night, he said, "You're not preaching what other ministers and missionaries that come here preach." I didn't know if that was a derogatory comment or a compliment. I didn't know. You know, I think, well, I'm sorry. I said, what are they teaching? And he said, they're coming to our country. And he said, they are preaching a message that says Jesus loves you. Okay, then you wait for the next part, and there is no next part. Jesus loves you. Stay as you are. As you are tonight, Jesus loves you, and that's the end. What hope is there in that gospel? What hope is there in that gospel? The love of God gives me hope, but it was a love that does not leave us in sin. There is a power in that love that comes and lifts us up and elevates us out of sin, thank God. And so, yes, I am warmed by the love of God, but the sacrifice of Jesus Christ did more than just save me from the inconvenience of offering the sacrifice of blood of bulls and of goats. If the blood of Jesus Christ does not set us free from sin tonight, why did He even come? Because we could have lived that same way as many Christian churches are teaching today. Jesus loves you, we're all sinners, and God's grace is going to cover you. Folks, there is a greater love and there is a greater grace tonight. It is a grace that reaches down in our sin. And Jesus said, "I don't condemn thee, but go and don't sin anymore." How can we do that? It's by the power of God's love. It's through the blood of Jesus that He can elevate us and raise us up. And folks, we cannot do that in our own strength tonight. We can't live this way. We can't live a holy life in our own ability. But it's through the power and the grace of Jesus Christ. So keep in mind then that the law's way of treating sin was stoning. It was death. But Christ came And he treated sin very differently. And he treated it with forgiveness and with mercy. He came and he offered hope. I don't know this woman's situation. And all I can do is look at the world that we live in today. You know that all of us have been touched by sin. We've all been affected, even after, if you're saved tonight, we have all been affected by the grossness of sin and how it's affected our families. And we're being more and more affected every day. Rebellious children, homes broken up. And I think about this woman, I don't know her situation, but I look at situations today and paint a little picture. This woman might have been there with her husband and maybe he loved her and cared for her and maybe he was a good man. And maybe they had a family. Maybe they had four or five little children in the home that they were taking care of. And this woman turned her back on her children. She walked away from a man that many women would have loved to have had a husband like that. And she turned her back on him and he walked away. She left her children without someone to care for them. She went out, she committed sin, and she was caught. And when Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more," I can almost imagine one of those little children, maybe that's grown up on the sidelines, saying, "But Lord, do you know what she did? Do you know that the abuse that we suffered? Do you know the heartache that came because of that sin? And now you're saying, go and sin no more? But Lord, if you really knew the pain that she had caused, your penalty, it might be different." I am thankful tonight that it does not matter how much pain and grief that people have caused others in this life. There is a Savior tonight with His arms wide open, and He said, "I did not come to condemn to death, but I came to love, and I came to forgive, and I came to extend mercy." Because what is mercy? Mercy is not getting the judgment that you deserve. It's not getting the penalty. All of us are worthy of death tonight. We all are. But it was the mercy of Jesus Christ when He looked on my life and said, "I love you anyway. I forgive you. Go and sin no more." And He gave us the power and the strength to go now and do differently because we met Jesus. Tonight, there is so much pain in our world. But Jesus did not only come to forgive those that had been pretty good growing up and lived a pretty good adult life. Jesus came to forgive all of us. Jesus came to have mercy on all of us tonight. Lay your stones down tonight if you have some. There are some people, their pockets are full of them. And they're walking around, it's like they're just ready to throw a stone. Well, they're not living like they ought to live. Except for the grace of God, I wouldn't either. And you wouldn't either. It was the mercy of the Lord when He looked on me. And He had compassion. And it was His compassion and His mercy that gave me hope. Do you know tonight I have not ever found that condemnation brings lasting change in people's lives?
No.
Never found that people that get that spirit of that judgmental, self-righteous spirit, I've never seen it bring about hope in people's lives. But it is the hope that we have tonight in Jesus Christ. And let's take another step forward. We're not saved by our good works anyway. We're not saved by our good works. We're saved by grace. Because the Lord gave us something that we didn't deserve. He gave us His love. And He gave us His mercy. And He gave us His compassion. And when you meet people that are bound by sin, and they say, "You don't know the pain that I've caused people." There have been those that have sat right among God's people and greatly abused the trust that was put in them. Do you know what the Lord's message is to them? "I don't condemn you. I have no stones to throw. Go and don't sin anymore. I love you and I care about you. Oh Lord, then help me just to take my stones out and leave them at the altar. Lord, I know this isn't why you came, Lord, to have mercy on me." We are not saved by our works. And folks, it is not our good works that keep us saved. It is the power of God working in us after we have been saved. Is there anyone here that's ever needed God's mercy after you were saved? After you repented? Well, I prayed and I gave my heart to the Lord and He said, I forgive you. I found a place of mercy. But I've also found there's been times in life that I had to come back to my Savior and say, Lord, I need some mercy. Do you know, I've learned that it's not wise to be vulnerable with judgmental people. It'll bite you.
Yes.
You go to someone and say, brother, I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to just bare my soul to you. And my brother gets self-righteous with me and his condemnation starts coming. It'll hurt me. Tonight, I know there are people that have been betrayed by people that you put your trust in before. But do you know tonight that we do not have to be afraid of Jesus Christ? He didn't have any stones to throw. That was for the law, but He came to bring life. That in our saved experience, in places that we struggle and we look around and it seems like, and we may revisit this again, folks, in this meeting, but it just looks like, oh, well, brother, can I use you for an example? I'm not throwing stones.
Go ahead.
I can look at Brother Ed and say, Brother Ed just has it all together. Preached for so many years and just has it all together, and I'm over here, and you may look at me thinking, oh, Brother Michael has it together, and all the time I'm in pain and I'm struggling and I feel like I'm not being what I ought to be, and it feels like I've been a failure, and we're afraid to expose that. Because what will others think? Everybody else come to service. My children told me at a meeting one time, they said, Dad, people just really don't understand. I mean, look around tonight. Who here understands sin? I mean, you all look so good. I said, children, I want to tell you something. You know that person over there? They used to be a drug addict. You know that person over there? They used to be a fornicator. You know this person over there? They won't even tell you what all they did. You know this person over here? And I told them, I said, people understand, but you're seeing a difference because they met Jesus.
Yes,
you know tonight that we have no stones to throw here tonight. But we have a message of mercy from Jesus Christ that can elevate us from our failure. And we don't have to cover it up tonight, but we can come and find the mercy of the Lord without shame. And say, Lord, this is where I'm at. I need mercy.
Yep.
And you're going to find a Savior that you don't have to be afraid of. In your private prayer life, you don't have to be afraid of just pouring out your heart and saying, Lord, I'm really struggling. I'm really being tempted here. Lord, I haven't been quite what I should have been here. And I know I need to do better. The Lord's not going to cut you off, young people. Children, I want to tell you something. It is the devil tonight that will try to paint a picture of God to you, that God is up there with His sword raised.
Yes,
and any little mistake you make, the Lord's just going to cut you off.
That's it.
The devil is trying to paint that kind of picture of God. There is a time of judgment, but it's not right now. Now is a time that it's not the raised sword. It is a Savior that's saying, oh, you have a problem? I'm not throwing any stones. I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. I'll have mercy on you.
Yes.
I'll forgive you. I'll give you what you need that you can go and do better next time. And I found this about failure tonight. You feel like, Lord, I just really failed. I found the Lord has a way of bringing up another opportunity to do better again.
Yes, thank the Lord.
But it was His mercy tonight. And that is the reason the Scripture says over in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, He said, let us therefore come boldly. Who are we coming to? A high priest that is touched and moved with the feeling of our infirmities.
Yeah.
And He said, let's therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may do what? Does anybody remember? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That message is to the sinner tonight. And it is to the saved. It is to the married couples. It is to the children that we can come boldly, in other words, with assurance, to the Lord Jesus. And before he even gives us the help, it says first that he would give mercy. I forgive you. I'm not going to hold that on you. And I find that sometimes we hold things on ourselves that the Lord has so quickly released. And we hold things sometimes on each other that the Lord has released. We hold things on our family sometimes because it hurt me so bad. The sleepless nights, and I know what those are. I'm not preaching about something I don't know of tonight. The sleepless nights, the pain, to where you don't even know if you can function again. And then it was the mercy of the Lord that came, not only to me, but those that caused the pain. And he says, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. So I don't want to be guilty of holding on myself or on my loved ones that have caused me so much pain or on those that we come together and worship with in the congregation. I don't want to be the one that's carrying a stone around. But I want to point people to my Savior that's saying, I don't condemn you. There's a safe place tonight beside the Savior, and He'll have mercy on you if you'll come. Amen.